There's no perfect family. I haven't met a single perfect family. So if you're trying to be the perfect family, just stop. That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself, your kids, everyone. And there's no perfect family. It's about bridging your imperfections and making the most of the time you have together.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. This is Javier Hinojo, your host of the Naked Truth about Real Estate Investing. And today I have Jim Shields as our guest. And he has an amazing story. He's been in real estate for 20 years from California, Bakersfield, California. Now he lives in Florida. Live in Florida, yes?
Yep.
You're still in California. You're in Florida.
No, Florida. Florida bound.
Florida, yeah, for sure. He's got, is Jack's Wealth? Is
Jack's Wealth correct? Investments.
Yes, yeah, Jack's Wealth Investment. He's done over $500 million in transactions. He does a lot of real estate in Florida. He's donated a kidney. That's pretty neat. That was to your dad?
Yep.
One of the coolest things that he has is this program or this just life-changing. You guys got to just listen to him. It's an eight call 18 summers. I'll let him explain to that. That's basically, hey, you have 18 summers with your kids. I can just break it down like that. And we'll talk a little real estate, but I definitely want to hit that 18 summers just because this is a naked truth about real estate investing. And nobody really talks about that part of the business, right? Like, what do you sacrifice, especially with your kids, being an entrepreneur? I mean, I ignored my kids the whole time I was building my business. So I'm paying for that now. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. It's not my counseling session. So, but Jim, we'll get started. Well, what did I miss? Just give me anything that I missed.
No, I'm just father of four. I have a real estate investment company for over 20 years and had a family education company for over 10 years. And I started that because it seemed like a lot of investors, there was lots of information out there how to build your business, but very little on how to help entrepreneurs keep their family as they built their business. And I'm my own customer because I went through the challenges of that work-life integration, wanting to make sure that I spent quality time with my kids, that I didn't become a stranger at home, which used to be taught to a lot of us entrepreneurs by, I think, some bad teaching, because I believe you can have the best of both worlds, success in business and success at home.
Cool. So we'll dive into that a little bit. I got a few questions that I'm gonna hit you with.
Sure.
So we're going to start with real estate. What do you guys got going on right now as far as any projects, any cool stuff you guys got lined up? What are you working on?
Yeah, I hung up my rehab shoes about 7 years ago and went into new construction building for investors. Now it's called the Build to Rent, which is a pretty popular niche out there. We're building in 12 different markets in Florida and one Georgia market. Last year, our team, first year, 7 years ago, we did about $3 million in property. Last year, we took contracts on over $120 million. So it's grown really exponentially. We've just stayed very true. We're building investment property in high growth areas that have population growth, economic growth, good affordability index, something desirable, drawing people there in healthy supply and demand, and very small units, single family duplexes and quads. And that's our niche. So that's my main thing. I do a little bit of investing in, I mean, I have my own portfolio, but also some bigger stuff like RV resorts. And that's my main focus on the real estate game.
Super cool. So when COVID hit last year, how did that affect you guys? You guys just pause everything for a couple of months, or how did that flow? Just kind of.
We were really lucky here in Florida. I was glad we're in Florida. We obviously had probably the friendliest business environment in the whole nation. Through it, building real estate construction was considered essential. We had to go to more of a virtual thing for showing properties and for other things like that. We actually, in the research, just thought that there's a possibility of it not being a big decline. You know, I lived 07, 08, barely. So obviously that was a first, but from all the indicators of people smarter than us, it was not going to be. So we actually doubled down and bought a lot of land right in the beginning of the pandemic. And we're very glad we did, because it gives us enough supply for a few years to be building our investment property.
Oh, that's great, man. That's awesome. You know, you still kept at it. I know a lot of people just got scared and people started selling, and, you know, I mean, nothing wrong with that. It just, that's what made them feel better, and they could have not sold, and nobody knows what's going to happen, right? But you know, you guys still stuck to your plan, and seems like it's worked out. Because
it's been a good niche, and right now being in the number one exodus state in the nation, it doesn't hurt. So it's nice where these people need someplace nice to live, and our properties are in high demand, and a lot of investors are looking for simple, more predictable investments besides the market. So that's where we step in.
Yeah, for sure, especially in Florida. People moving to Florida and those built to rent. I know it's been pretty hot last couple of years.
Sure has. Awesome. Yes,
that's awesome. Glad to hear. So now let's talk a little bit about your the 18 summers. So why don't you tell the audience what's that about?
Yeah, it's a family education company that my wife and I created to help entrepreneurs succeed at home. Because there's so much out there that helps us, you know, how do we work the deal? How do we find financing? How do we manage this? How do we market this? But very little, how do we be a successful mother or father to our family while we're building a business? There just wasn't much out there. And I'm a test subject for our own education company. You know, I did things wrong and had to figure out how to do things right, and then started to share some of the ups and downs. And my big thing is simple rhythms and strategies that you can depend on and use over and over. And that's what we try to teach business owners and professionals, to make sure they don't let it go. And a mentor of mine had taught me that the average person will spend 85% of the time they ever have with their children by the end of their 18th summer. That's the average person, because after that they go off and there's less chance to spend time together. So if you have children under the age of 18, you have a golden opportunity that you will not always have. We don't realize that. So when you start to do that math, if you have children, you're probably going, oh man, wait, I only have 5 summers left. Wait, I only have 8 summers left. That doesn't sound right. And it's a positive math equation just to get you motivated, the name of the company. And once you're motivated, that's where we step in to help with some simple strategies that you can put to work and see results from.
Yeah. So I saw you speak in one of our masterminds, Collective Genius, maybe about a year and a half ago, and getting teary-eyed back there, right? Because I got 5 kids, right? I got two there in the 20s, one's going to turn 20, and I got a 16-year-old and I got a 10-year-old at home still, right? So I'm like,
yeah. And they don't stop being your kids after.
Yeah, 18, yeah, they don't, right?
But that's where it's even more important. People say, oh, well, the principles or strategies you're going to teach, my kids are 21, and I wouldn't bother. I said, no, it's even more important, because that means if you're an average person, which you don't want to be, you know, you only have 15% of the quality time you ever had left with them. That's crazy. You want to expand that or make the most of it. So, you know, I think these principles are even more important for people that might have been working too much through the growing up years. And we've all done that. So you're not alone. There's no perfect family, but I think it's important for all ages, because you never stop being a parent.
So what do you think is the biggest mistake that most entrepreneurs make while building a business and family? But what do you think?
They will constantly discount or disqualify priorities or scheduled events with family for the business. They will not shut off in the name of the business. And over the last year, what I saw through the pandemic is a lot of business owners would put their own worries and struggles on a pedestal and discount everyone else's in the family. Say, I'm running this business in unknown times. So what? You're missing a little bit of school. You can't see your friends. And that caused a big disconnection. I think sometimes as entrepreneurs, we're under certain stress. We seem to pedestal our own challenges and discount everyone else's. And that can really pull a family apart.
Yeah. So you made a point there, and you mentioned the word stress. So, you know, as an entrepreneur, right, it's like you're fighting, you know, you're fighting. If you don't fight hard, somebody else is going to take it from you. There could be some financial stress at the same time. So I can see where it could be fairly easy to be like, hey guys, got to take care of business, right? Got to pay the bills. In your 18 summers, is there a plan to balance that out? Or what exactly do you guys do, like, when you're training for your family?
It's called the first thing is I let them know that I have, in 10 years of doing this work with thousands of families and some very successful business-wise, there's no perfect family. I haven't met a single perfect family. So if you're trying to be the perfect family, just stop. That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself, your kids, everyone. And there's no perfect family. It's about bridging your imperfections and making the most of the time you have together. And how to make most of the time together is, the first thing we start to talk about is clear lines. As entrepreneurs, we can pick up the phone here, there, everywhere. You have to be able to shut off at certain times. And when you do that, you're going to see more of a growth at home. Because if you're always what we call half parenting, it doesn't work. If at all points in time, from sunrise to sunset, and you're around your family, right before bedtime, you will pick up a text, a call, Facebook thread at all times, you're never fully present, and you will always feel behind. You'll always feel disconnected. You'll never get really below the surface, and you're going to be ineffective. Whereas if you just start to separate some lines of, even if it's just an hour a day to start, maybe around dinner time, where you're completely and totally unavailable to work and fully present with your family, you start to regain something. So we do small steps, you know, low bars to jump over to get you to a grounded level.
Yeah. So I did a solo episode a few episodes back, where I talked about my greatest sacrifice, right, for building my business. So my greatest sacrifice was my family, right? I sacrificed my family to grow my business. And for the people that you say you're doing it for, that's the people you end up harming. Yeah, my 19-year-old, I went to his high school one time. That was because he got in trouble. And then I was working 60, 70 hours a week. Now he's 20 years old. So this definitely hits home for me. So anybody out there listening to this, you guys got kids, you really got to really pay attention to it. You know, just really pay attention to it, because you do, you can definitely fix it. It's just a little bit harder. You know, it's harder. So I just love your program.
No, I appreciate it. And Javier, the one thing I've learned is, again, none of us are perfect. We've all done that. We've all sacrificed where we wish we hadn't. The one thing that I've learned goes a long way that can take a past problem and really get it handled, opposed to letting it linger another 10 years, is a sincere apology. We entrepreneurs, we're really proud, and it's tough to apologize. But I've found the more, when I've, even through the pandemic in the beginning, I'd say to my kids, hey, I'm a little out of myself. I'm a little stressed. I'm going through some unknowns, and I've probably been short. I haven't been present. You've probably talked to me and I've looked right through you because I'm in something. I just want to say I'm sorry. You know, and I've heard the same thing where sometimes you felt like you weren't there. You might want to just give a clean apology. And once you do that, 19, 20 will be like, hey, I get it. Let's look ahead. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for acknowledging it. But there's something about a sincere apology that really goes a long way.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely true. I've been married 23 years. And tell everybody that I've become a professional apologizer.
Well, then you're further than most, because let me tell you, one of the hardest things I think for entrepreneurs is to apologize, because we get this entitlement of, gosh, do you know how hard we're working? Do you know what we've sacrificed? We don't even really want to do this all the time, but we have to provide and protect. And I get it. And it's honorable and it's noble, but does not make us immune from apologies. And that was a big lesson for me. And the more I started to apologize, like I was saying, a 10-minute issue could stay a 10-minute issue opposed to a 4-day problem. And then it can go even longer, as we know. So, yeah. So good on you. Then the sincere apology really starts to break down disconnection.
Yeah. So what would you say somebody who's who want to reach out and find out some more information, like what's the process of that? And then once they reach out, like
more about, you know, some of our programs or just our simple family rhythms to help keep you in line, you know, just go to 18summers.com. We have a few free downloads that'll get you a start on some easy principles and action steps that you can start to implement and see results right away. Because again, remember, it's about being effective. And if you don't have a simple roadmap or a simple blueprint to follow, it can be really confusing. We get a lot of them for work, not for family, especially entrepreneur families, because we're an odd breed when you own your own business. But the things we've identified, put to practice, thousands have used, and they work, and they're easy to keep intact.
What would you say would be the hardest thing for entrepreneurs that maybe take your training? That's what's the hardest thing for them to do?
One of the hardest things for them to do is accept that adding a few rhythms won't take away freedom. It'll add it. Like I do date night every Wednesday from 5:30 to 8:30 with my wife. I'm not doing a podcast. I'm not having a client meeting. That's our time. And that one thing has accelerated and probably saved our marriage through tough times. So what people don't understand is if you just put a few simple rhythms into place and stick with them, they're not going to get you the whole way there, but they'll get you 80% of the way there. And people think, oh, if I schedule that, oh, I'm not going to schedule time with my kids. Oh, I'm not going to meet with them for a half hour every week. Like just some simple rhythms we've put into our family and we learn from others. Dinner time again together 5 days a week. Simple things hold the family together. We overcomplicate the problem and we don't need to do that. Simple solutions can go a long way.
Right. So the hardest part was just to kind of realize just adding a couple of more.
Accepting the solution doesn't have to be as complicated as we've made the problem. Yeah. You put a few things into place, you could see some monster improvements instead of saying, no, that's too easy. I need something grander, bigger, more confusing, more complicated to put into practice, to overwhelm myself and set myself up for failure. It doesn't have to be like that.
So saying, hey, that was the hardest thing. Would you say that's actually also the easiest thing to do? Maybe at first it might be the hardest thing, but it might be the easiest, or is there one of the easy steps you can take right away?
I think one of the easiest things to do is just commit to one of the rhythms that we talk about and put it on the calendar. That which we schedule gets done. So the easiest thing is actually saying, okay, I'm going to actually schedule it. I'm going to let my business team know I have a very important appointment. I can't do this. Like for my wife, my whole team, both my businesses know, don't schedule me for anything Wednesday night, 5:30 to 8:30. That's my most important client meeting of the week with my wife. So just scheduling is the easiest and letting your team know it's an important appointment and treat it like it's your biggest client or investor in your business, because it is.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes we take it, you know, we just take it for granted, right? So at what point did you realize that, hey, you wanted to do this, just the family coaching, the family helping entrepreneurs be better fathers and mothers? At what point, like in your career, what would you say was like your turning point?
Yeah, it was organic. I was at different entrepreneur events and I started to share some of my things. I got asked to speak. It was very uncomfortable, very vulnerable, telling all family stories. And it was a very organic start. And people just said, I got to put this into a book. And I had no desire to write a book, zero, none. then I literally just requested people saying, could you put this in a short book? I did. And, you know, now it's a best-selling book. So that's worked out pretty well.
That's awesome. They can find that also at the18summers.com.
They can find the book there, or they can go right to Amazon and order the family board meeting.
Super cool. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to continue this because I might start crying. Choked up over here. So I'm just going to leave it at that though. But this brings me to the next part of the show, which actually is one of my favorites, is I actually have a naked truth roulette where I'm just going to ask you four random questions. It's more personal questions. So we can, all the audience and myself, we get to know you a little bit better.
Sure.
So we're going to ask four random questions. So let's roll. Question number one for Jim. All right. Have you ever cried at a movie?
Of course.
All right. Which is the last movie?
First one I remember is Old Yeller, which I think is everyone's.
Old Yeller, yeah.
Last movie I cried at. Oh, man. I'm trying to remember. That's a tough one. I went right to the first one, which was...
Well, that's okay. We got the first one, Old Yeller. I mean, anything has to do with dogs. I mean, I got a puppy.
Probably The Dog's Life or something like that. One of those movies. Dennis Quaid was in it. I watched it with my wife. We have a lot of animals, so
yeah.
So that would have been one, too.
All right. So you're a softie for pets. That's good.
Yeah, I definitely.
All right. Question number two. All right. What's the most embarrassing thing you ever worn?
I think it was like third or fourth grade. I had a pair of pants on, like more dressy pants than I probably should have been worn. They split right down the middle. So I remember having a big split in the pants, you know, for like the rest of the afternoon after recess. So I remember that being pretty embarrassing.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Definitely having some ripped pants. That's pretty bad. Especially in third grade, man. Especially in third grade. All right.
There was lots of razzing.
Oh my goodness. All right. Let's go to question number three. All right. What is the worst chore to do? The one you enjoy the least?
Not a big fan of doing dishes.
Not a big fan of doing dishes. Okay. No. All right. I love doing dishes. I love washing dishes. I just can't put them away. That would say that was my favorite chore to do is wash dishes. I just don't like to put them away.
I don't like either, really.
I'm going to write a book one day and I'm going to title it something washing dishes. So
there you go.
All right. Let's go. Question number four. All right. If you can take any celebrity on a date, who would it be?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's kind of a trick question. I'm gonna say my wife, and we would bring along. I'm not a big celebrity person. Let me think. Celebrity, alive or dead?
Yeah, hey, give me that, alive or dead.
I always liked John Candy, the comedian. I always thought he'd be fun to have dinner with.
So all right, John Candy. All right, so the wife and take John Candy. That's good. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't want to get myself in trouble.
I know. I was going to give you a pass, but I said, I'm not going to give you a pass. Congratulations. You survived the Naked Truth Roulette. Thanks for being a great sport. We talked a little bit about your business. You've been doing some, it's called a Built to Rent in Florida.
Yeah, Built to Rent.
Yep. Some more land during COVID, which is awesome. You got, you still act in real estate, and you have your company that helps entrepreneurs, you know, kind of get their stuff together, and maybe not perfect, but at least in the right direction with their family. So, which is awesome. Anything else? And if anybody wants to get a hold of you, how do they do it?
Best way to find us is just go to 18summers.com. So you can find us there. We're also on Instagram at 18summerstribe.
Awesome, Jim. Well, I appreciate your time. It was really nice. Well, when I heard you speak the first time, and it's nice again to have you on the podcast. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Careful.
I'm your host, Javier. Don't lose your shirt.
Consuming, it can be very scary. It could be like trying to get somewhere without a roadmap. So that's why I created this due diligence list. When I buy a property, when I buy an apartment building, or even a mobile home park, you can use it for mostly pretty much any commercial property. But this one specifically is for a multifamily. It could be a 6-unit. It could be a 600 unit. You can use it for what you like. So go ahead and sign up, put your name, email. I'll send you the free link to my due diligence. This is what I've used to buy hundreds and hundreds of units, if not thousands of units. So sign up, you get my link, you get an Excel sheet as well. And also we use the software, project management software, monday.com. Feel free to sign up for a free trial. I do have an affiliate link. You don't pay any extra. They just pay me a small fee. Don't have to use it. You have the Excel spreadsheet, but if you use monday.com, it's actually a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot prettier, and you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. There's even a video there I created in the link. So check the link, sign up, and this is my giveaway for you guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.